Welcome everybody to today's online session of this online Metta retreat. And as usual, we will start with some sharing. And I hope that all of you have been able in the last 24 hours to distribute lots and lots of Metta candies. So anybody who feels inclined to share something, please go ahead. Yes, Marieke.
Well, I feel a bit shy because of spreading of all the Metta candies. Well, here, I tried, but yes, it was rather difficult. Not so much the Metta for the difficult person, because that person turned into not difficult anymore by the practice, really. Yes, it went very smooth. Also, doing the Metta for people I meet on the street, all the neutral people. But instead, there came so much, seeing the dark sides, the shadow sides of this here. Ooh, that was really rather difficult, and then still sending, just still seeing that and being with that, and just going on with the practice for the, well, it made it easier by practicing for the difficult person, but it was rather, well, the Metta candies for myself, it was really difficult. Yes, maybe that's also part of what the practice does, that it brings to the surface what's lying underneath. Well, just still confidence and going.
Thank you, Marieke. Yes, please, Linda. Linda, we cannot hear you.
Oh my God, now I have to say it again.
Yes.
What was you saying?
Loud.
I was saying, first of all, thank you to the teachers, been wonderful. And also I just was saying that when everybody comes up on the Zoom, that I'm just like so struck by how beautiful everybody is. And you're just the most beautiful group of people I've ever seen. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Linda. And now it's either Witzke or Jerome.
Yes.
Or both.
Hello, everybody. Yes, okay. A Metta candy, well. My sister and I this morning officially sold my father's house. They paid a good amount of money for it. But it was a quite a joyful experience. So we contributed in the joy of the new owners of the house, a young couple, and they were very happy, and they started to reorganize the house they had plans, and they invited us to come when the rebuilding is over. And the guy who assisted us, the broker, I think is the name, he gave my sister and I also a kind of meta candy. It came from out of his heart, both a bottle of wine. I don't drink alcohol, but it was from a good heart. And and I had a very difficult relationship with my sister, because especially in the last years. And I thanked her for all the energy she put in, because it was a very difficult process, and we both spoke out to each other that we love each other. So that was quite a candy this morning, especially this last one. But also wishing other people and joy and mudita. Yeah, that was very beautiful.
Thank you, Jerome.
Well, I can share something too. Like you said, maybe you want to share. So something came up. I do a lot of work for the renovation of our new apartment. And have to do a lot with the small government of the area, because we want to place windows in our roof. But there are a lot of laws also about the breeding season of the birds is coming. And we have a new law that you can't do that in the breeding season. Or you have to do something about it. You have to pull something under the roof before the breeding season starts. Well, it's a lot of laws around it. But I can really stay relaxed in it. Like, oh yes, of course, birds. When we disturb the birds, when we place the windows in it. So I'm not suffering from frustration or like from anger, but I just feel from, oh yeah, that's a really good thing to do. I can feel the birds and the bats that will profit from it. So I love the building process, really.
Thank you, Witzke. Maybe one more person? Yes, Helen, please. And after that, Ekaterina.
I was going to say, otherwise give there space to Ekaterina.
No, you can both.
Well, maybe Ekaterina has a better story. Maybe sharing helps a bit. I'm stuck. I feel a bit victimized by the government, and I know being a victim is not a good thing. So I know I should not feel like that. And get over myself. I'm angry, injustice, and it feels like my metta practice is taken from me. And I know that's all. I can only do this with myself. I am the one doing this, and I just wish I was a bigger person. And I hope I can pick it up again. Maybe sharing this, it opens up. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. So, Ekaterina, please.
Good evening. to be here in Sri Lanka and many strange and beautiful animals around us. And all the time, actually, they're here. And sometimes a little bit too much of them also is an annoying experience. And especially in our house, we have quite a big amount of flies. And meditation and flies, you know, not such a cute thing most of the time. And today, I was having tea and I had chocolate with my tea, and there were little bits of chocolate, melted chocolate left spread on the plate, and the fly came and she started eating. And you know, flies, they have this little paws, I don't know, she was eating, she was adorable. And I actually experienced so much love for this fly. I felt like, I'm annoyed with you usually, how come I'm feeling this? And then I was like, okay, difficult person, I understand, difficult creature, it's working. So.
Thank you, Ekaterina. So then with this, I give over to Aya Viranyani, who will continue.
Thank you, Aria. And thank you all for your beautiful sharing. It speaks to the challenge, the practice, the power of the practice. And truthfulness and sincerity are just shining out of everything you're saying. It's just so beautiful. Just really touched. So today I want to talk a little more around the subject of how we relate to difficult people. And a little more about patience. Because, of course, now things are getting even more interesting or challenging. And we see habits of various habits of dosa with this category so easily that can be just a habit of habitual irritation. It may not be much, but it's often there on one end of the spectrum. Then on the other end of the spectrum, maybe we have habits of flying into rage internally. Maybe we don't act it out. Strong anger. Or perhaps fear. Or some strong response that arises with respect to difficult beings. We see so clearly how the mind can fixate on things that have happened to us. Things that people have said to us or done to us. Maybe decades in the past, these things can come to mind in the practice. And we see how we hang on to things that are really quite petty. It's very humbling, this practice. We know intellectually that it's like, this is nothing, but the mind is just latched onto it. We see resentment. We see a desire to retaliate. Or maybe a difficult person has something bad happen to them and we feel schadenfreude. This is that kind of feeling that is perversely pleasant sometimes. And we see how the mind chews on all of this, and we can't do anything about it. It seems so out of our control. And especially if somebody's directly harmed us and, you know, maybe recently. It's so disheartening because we know intellectually that this is suffering. And we know directly from our experience this is suffering. We know all we have to do, quote unquote, all I have to do is let it go, but the mind is just occupying all our thoughts, all our attention. And maybe, you know, maybe it's something not big, you know, this we see and we say to ourselves, oh, this is so unnecessary. I don't know why this bothers me so much. Thoughts about an event or an interaction can actually feel, in some very strange way, almost parasitic. They live in the mind. And they're not offering any benefit. And we can't do anything about it. There's an expression, a slang expression in English, to live rent-free in somebody's head. Meaning, they, you know, when something bothers something, and it's like that, it's just, oh, there's no benefit. And we might know this, but it becomes our practice in this category. Many of you know the lines from the Dhammapada. Verse 3, you know, he abused me, attacked me, defeated me, robbed me. For those carrying on like this, hatred doesn't end. And that, you know, that directly speaks to how we can chew on things, how we can really almost obsessively think about something. And when we're on a retreat, we see this even more vividly. I remember one time being on a retreat with Upandita, and every day we were getting interviews every day, but not every day with him. And on a day before the interview was supposed to happen next with him, the list went up and our group jumped over him to the next person. So we didn't get to see him that week. And instead of going to the office and saying, is there a mistake in the interview list? I just got angry. And honestly, I couldn't sleep that night. I was so mad. Making up a story about how, oh, you know, they think we're the least important ones. And so, you know, the most important people, they get more attention. You know, it all tied into feeling unseen and unsupported and, you know, really old stuff. And I lost the whole night's sleep over something that turned out to be somebody just made a mistake. Had nothing to do with me. But this is what the mind does when it has this kind of obsessive habit of chewing on something. And here's where it's paradoxical. Because when we're faced with all of this in the practice, and we're working with it, there's actually a great benefit to be had as a result. To face all our habits, all our tendencies, all the things we actually perversely, habitually enjoy, but which are not wholesome or useful. And to feel the gravitational pull of the ego. Working with it in a metta context, not feeding it, as we've described, letting it be there, continuing with whatever strength of mind we can manage to incline the mind in another direction. And we can reframe our relationship with all of these experiences because they are practice. Because they are overtly and directly valuable. When we see how we suffer on account of other beings. As you said, Helen, I know I'm doing this, but there's something in that that's very useful. Because we see how the ego works and how we suffer on account of it. So that very seeing, it actually humbles the ego. And somebody said yesterday in the small group, and it was so touching, they said, because there's been so much suffering in this retreat, compassion was more accessible for them. So, compassion. Because we see and directly experience the pain of a mind that doesn't want to let go. It is habitually latched onto something. And when we observe it carefully, with a metta, an eye of metta-friendliness, we really see both cause and effect when these thoughts are obsessive, how much pain they cause. And it makes us so motivated not to add more pain into the world. So, all of this is of great benefit when we practice with it, as each of you is doing. And it requires both that ardent patience that I was speaking of the other day. I think of it as muscular patience, vigorous patience. We have to remember again and again and again, oh yeah, this mind, just to keep going, just to keep practicing. It requires that, but it also requires a vigilant awareness, not in a Vipassana sense, but paying attention to where the mind is going, not ignoring that. Seeing clearly relate to whatever has arisen. Acknowledging, oh, there's anger. Oh, there's fear. Oh, there's rage. Oh, there's resentment. Noticing these things. The combination of patience and a metta awareness is what allows us to keep going in the practice, and it allows the mind to gradually loosen that grip of habit. It allows us access to metta eventually. And the next verse in the Dhammapada after the one that I quoted was saying, for those not carrying on like this, hatred ceases. This is what gives us access to that. So really all we are doing again and again and again is patiently seeing what the mind is doing if it's wholesome, feeding that. If it's unwholesome, turning the mind in another direction. Turning the mind again and again to metta. In the Satipatthana Sutta, I think my favorite line in the Satipatthana Sutta is equally applicable to metta practice. It's the Buddha speaks of not clinging to anything in the world. And this is that ardency of patience and that awareness that knows. Where am I going with this? What am I hanging on to? Not in a psychological way, but just so that we know, oh, that's arisen. I think I'll go to metta instead. So we are able to let go. Let be. Let things be. Not feed them. Not get lost in them. Hold them kindly, as we've described. And we see also very clearly, as we inhabit the bumpy landscape of metta for difficult people, they may be ourselves, actually, metta for anybody difficult. First of all, we see how we are prone to anger, and others are prone to anger. And how nobody invites these mind states. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to be angry today. That would be nice. No. And nobody does that. So all the difficult people in our lives, they didn't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to make life really difficult for that person. And maybe that happened. So we see that we didn't invite the anger, and how senseless it is to make it a problem. How making it a problem just makes the anger more strong. And we also see how it's not about the other person. Somebody was saying this so beautifully also the other day. It's like this irritation, this anger. I know it's not about the other person. I'm making this as a response. More accurately, habit is making this as a response. And we see so clearly, we have the power to feel happy and let them be as they are. That power doesn't reside in the other person that's causing us to feel upset. They're doing what they do, and we respond. Now what? In that moment of knowing how we're responding, we have a choice, feed it or not. And that's why we need that combination of patience and awareness to be able to see that moment when it arises and go, maybe I don't want to go there. Or more accurately, sometimes quite honestly, it's, yeah, I really want to be angry about this, but I know where that goes. We see the cause. No matter how right we are, quote unquote, we might be justified in feeling upset about what somebody's done. Maybe they've really harmed us or the world. And getting upset as a result and feeding that upsetness only adds to the pain of the situation, which is plenty. It's enough. There's a beautiful passage. Many of you know this because I talk about it often because I like it so much. The Buddha is speaking to an angry, disrespectful Brahmin. The Brahmin's really giving the Buddha a hard time. He's being really rude and confronting and in the Buddha's face. And the Buddha asks him, Brahmin, do you ever have guests? And the Brahmin's a little surprised. It's like, what does this have to do with anything? And the Brahmin says, well, of course I have guests. And the Buddha says, well, when you have guests, do you offer them food? And the Brahmin said, of course I do. And then the Buddha says, well, if they don't eat that food, to whom does it belong? And the Brahmin says, well, it belongs to me, of course. And the Buddha says, in the same way, your anger belongs to you. I don't accept it. So choosing to respond to anger with more anger is just catching the anger virus. And that's how we spread it, because then often sometimes we're annoyed and upset and we go down, you know, down the road and yell at somebody else and we spread it around. If we choose to respond to anger with kind awareness, with a willingness to incline in another direction, to not feed it, it stops it right there. So it's very important in the practice to have these allies of that muscular patience and clear awareness, and a willingness to just let it all play out without feeding it. You're not doing anything wrong. Really, you're not. I mean, it seems that way sometimes in the practice. It's like, ugh. But please remember, you see it clearly because you're eliciting it. The practice is eliciting. It can be shocking, but this is how we get in to those small spaces in the mind where anger resides. Because in our daily life, we don't see it so much, these subtle places of habit. We don't see how habit plays out so pervasively. So, leave reflections aside and go to the practice now. So taking a moment before we sit to reflect about who you'd like to choose. You know for yourself how strong and stable your metta is. So choosing somebody, a second difficult being, for who's a little harder, but not so much harder that you lose your balance. So depending on how it's going, choose somebody more difficult. And as the practice goes on today, being responsive to what arises. So what I mean when I say that is, if there's connection and that basic ability to incline again and again to metta, please continue with the second difficult person. But if it's really not easy, and you find the mind getting tight, rigid, abiding more in dosa than in metta, go back to where it's easier. Either the first difficult person, or perhaps yourself, or one of the previous categories that we have worked with, and go back and forth, as Aria said, shuttle back and forth between. So once the metta is established where it's easier, then you can go back to where it's more difficult. With this category, it's very easy to get greedy. If we have basic metta connection with easy, difficult people, we think, oh boy. yeah, we understand. We've all done this, actually. Get closer to where it's much more difficult, but don't dive right in if you don't have the balance to hold it. And how you know whether you have the balance or not is often trial and error. If somebody's coming up strongly that you want to work with, and you think you have the momentum and the balance of the practice to try, you can try that. But be willing to back off and try somebody easier if it gets too intense. This may take time. So that's that muscular patience. it's okay. Staying right where you're on an edge of this is difficult, but not too far over the edge where you lose yourself, where you lose balance. And the mind begins to obsess. So taking a moment to reflect. And Aria will ring the bell after about 5 minutes to let us know when to move on. Start with an easy person. Rest back, relax the mind and body, taking the first minutes of the practice with somebody very easy, yourself or any of the previous beings, establishing the flow and momentum of metta. Gently, softly, beginning to repeat this well-wishing, this phrase. These simple, heartfelt wishes for their well-being. Kind, friendly, accepting. Now taking up the second difficult person within either their image or their felt sense. Beginning to cultivate metta for them. Gently, patiently, planting seeds of kindness, phrase by phrase, moment by moment. So thank you for your practice, your patience, your willingness, and in the next 24 hours, continuing in your formal practice to, with this second difficult person. And as you've done before, in your general activities, opening up as you are called to do, depending on what you're doing and where you are, to metta for yourself or for all beings, spreading metta candy wherever it's appropriate, however you can. The continuity in your general activities will really benefit the continuity in your daily practice. And the continuity in your formal practice will feed the continuity in your general activities. So it's a feedback loop. And fueling that however you can. So now I'll turn us over to Aria for the chanting and the questions.
Thank you, sister. So now the space is open for your questions. Yes, Claudia, please.
My question is, I want to understand more what is the meaning of ego. What is your understanding of the ego?
Yes, thank you, Claudia. So when we speak of the ego or the I, or we also refer to it as saying mine or me, so this refers to a concept that we have that somewhere in this bodily and mental process we call me or Claudia or Aria, that we can find an ego or an I, meaning something substantial or something lasting, something that is there from the time when we were born until the time we die. So it's like like an entity that is me, or that is the ego, that is, you know, kind of, and the idea is also that this ego or this I has control over our life, over our bodies, over our mind. But, you know, when, especially with the practice of Vipassana meditation, one thing is that we come to discover that this entity, this thing we call ego or I, does not exist in the way we think it exists. And this is something quite difficult to understand. You know, this is really eine Knacknuss in German, so something difficult to break through. And that's where the practice is needed. We can come to a kind of intellectual understanding, but this is not enough to undo the workings of the ego or the I. So then there is René, please.
Yes, thank you. I wonder if I have chosen the right person. It's the person that I have not seen for 40 years. And I really liked him in that period of my life. But every time I think of him, I have feelings of shame and guilt, which are not justified. I know they are not justified, but I always, of nearly always, feel them. And I was wondering, he's not a nasty or difficult person, but I am a nasty, a difficult person by having always this obsession. So I wondered if I have chosen well. The metta came up very easily, was very warm. But I don't know, he is not difficult, but I am. So what's your opinion about this?
Yes, thank you, Reni, for bringing up this question. And this actually connects to what Mariko has said yesterday, also in her question, realizing that basically she herself is the difficulty in all these relationships with other people. You know, lastly, yes, it's in our heart and mind that these not so nice reactions happen out of habit, as Ayavirañani has just said. Here is the metta practice. You know, we stay on a relative, on a conventional level, you know, living in this world, living together with other people, with other living beings, and, you know, on the conventional level, yes, we distinguish between people we like, people we dislike, people we respect, people we don't care about, and we say, yes, these are people we dislike. And usually what, you know, is when picking a person from this category, it's that this other person has done or said something that has hurt you, or that you didn't like, that you made upset or angry. Or it can be that that person has done something harmful to another person, not to you, but maybe a friend or people you even don't know, but you know that this person, through their action, has caused so much harm or hurt others. So this is classically the object of this category of a difficult person. Really taking a person who has, you know, done an action and that causes the anger or upsetness in you to arise. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I understand what you mean. It's more about anger and it's not about guilt and shame.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand. So I better choose somebody else.
Yeah, for this, you know, for this practice, for the purification of the anger, the dislike, getting upset, it's better to choose such a person.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, Sarah, please.
Yeah, it just came to my mind when you said that, because I did the same, or I really have problems to find someone who makes me angry, because my reaction normally is that if people are kind of, or it feels like they are aggressive, then they make me scared. So I don't feel, I feel like fear and not anger or, yeah, something like that. So I really, no one comes to my mind who, I don't know anyone. So what do I do?
Yes. Good, Sarah, that you ask. Well, here, you know, you say that this other person causes fear in you to arise, or you feel scared. So here it is still that this other person, through their action, causes this not so nice, unpleasant, unwholesome reaction in you to arise. So it's not anger, but it's fear or being scared. And actually, you know, in the Buddha's teaching, in this big department of dosa, you know, anger, aversion, frustration, fear, and being scared is included. So, you know, in this case, it's fine if there is such a person that who, through their action, causes fear to arise in you. And Helena, please.
Just maybe a bit of follow-up question. The person that I talk now with, someone, it's not her action, it's the action of someone else, and now I feel envy towards her. Often it comes, I don't have a lot of contact, and in personal contact it's okay, but always when I get emails from her in her function that was before my function, I get envy. Is this also possible, or should I change, rather?
Yes, thank you, Helena. Well, you know, as I said, a person that through their action causes some reaction in you to arise. So in your case, if you feel envy, then yeah, it's the envy, but you know, this person is difficult in the sense that this person causes this envy in you to arise. And so, you know, cultivate metta for that person and then see if the envy still comes up or not. So with this, we can go on to the metta chants. Let's start with the words of the Buddha, the Karaniya Metta Sutta, which is on page 4. So then let's start. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness to over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from sense desire, is not born again into this world. Let's turn over to page 6 at the bottom. This is the Metta Karuna Mudita Upekha, the Metta song that you can do as a canon. Then let's start.
Metta Karuna Mudita Upekha. 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 Metta Karuna Mudita Upekha.
We will stay on this page and do the one in the middle, the Sanskrit one. Lokha samastha sukhino bhavantu. Let's start. Lokha samastha sukhino bhavantu. 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 Today I want to finish with the sharing of blessings. This is on the last page, page 8. So sharing all our goodness, all the wholesome qualities that we have cultivated in the last 24 hours, bringing them up, dedicating them for the welfare and happiness of ourselves and all beings, and sharing them with all living beings. We begin. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble guide. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. With this, we end our online session. And today, Ayavirañani has group B for the small group meetings, and I have group E. And for all of us, may we have an ongoing meta practice based on patience and clear awareness. And may we be able to distribute lots of meta candies. Thank you so much for your engagement, for your practice, and for your being in this world. See you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.